That was a real attempt to wake me up. Wake up, Lou, wake up. We don't care if you're shooting earlier than you normally would.
It's 6 a.m.
Yeah, they don't know. I mean, whenever it is that you post it. Maybe this large Tim Hortons coffee is a sort of giveaway.
Yeah.
I'm trying to fix something. I was out late. Not that late. I play hockey two nights in a row. Plus, all the kids had hockey. So I've been like living at an arena.
Right.
And it's a whole new thing over there with protocols and scannings. The scanning of documents.
Oh, right. You have to do that every time, eh?
You'd think that you would get used to it, but you really don't get used to it. It's like going through the airport to just walk into the community center for a game. And I sometimes think about like just the difference in that experience versus when I would have done it as a kid and how that's being perceived by those youngsters. Because I know it's having an effect on the adults. I look at them. It's a lot of frustration. It's a wide variety of people coming through there, and when they're trying to scan their phones and stuff,
yeah,
like some people that aren't as smooth with it, and or they bring up the wrong document, or it's three things, by the way.
Okay.
It's obviously you had to have your vaccine passport.
Mm-hmm.
You have to have identification that matches it. And this is starting at 12 years old and up.
Mm.
And then you have to fill out whatever website QR-based documentation for that particular town. Because these kids are playing all over the place. So it's not like a generic, you can just do the same form every time. You would go to some other arena and you'd have to fill out their version. So you got to walk to the door, figure out the code. Anyway, this is all happening in a lineup of like, couple, I don't know, maybe like, it could be like three, four teams at a time because it might be at two rinks at that, at that facility. But, I mean, it's just a, those are the times, man. That's, maybe we do eventually all get used to it or maybe it does go away to a certain extent. I don't know, but.
And there's no way of making it more efficient. Can there just be like one scan and you're done?
I don't know. Can there? Maybe, yeah. What is it, a retina scan?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Temperature and then it all checks out.
Well, that's the funny thing about it, isn't it? How much things have changed. Because at first, it was temperature scan, like symptomatic based. It's like, how are you feeling today? And now it turned much more into, what is your, let me see your documents.
Mm-hmm.
And that happened in a short period of time.
Mm-hmm.
At the beginning of this thing, it was like more interested in your physical presentation. And now it's like, what have you done to prepare yourself to be a part of society? And by that, I mean, do you have the right documents to satisfy that you've done all the things that we want you to do? And I just, you know, it's one thing for adults to make adult decisions, but the really sort of squirrely part is when you're talking about 12-year-olds.
Yeah, they don't have a choice in the matter.
And you got 12-year-olds as well that just turned 12 because they're right at that cutoff point.
Mm-hmm.
And so they've had to do, I mean, they're showing ID. Like, you don't even have ID at that age group.
Yeah, passport, right? That's the only thing you have.
Yeah, so now you got 12-year-olds with the passport in a hockey bag.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's just, it doesn't sound that complicated. Everyone's gotten used to some version of this, but it's definitely different when you step back for a second and really try to appreciate the scope of what's going on and the sort of depth of it, because it is a real transition.
It's not as casual anymore.
No, I'm casual. Casual. We literally had one player that didn't make it, didn't get through the gate.
Mm.
and just had to turn around and those leagues, they show up like an hour before, they do a little warm up, they wear a special outfit, like
sure.
They're on a pretty competitive team, so it matters to them.
Mm-hmm.
And when you have a person get turned away that was set to play, it's pretty dark, actually. It's a pretty rough thing to witness.
Yeah.
Because the whole thing is standing there. And
it's not because, like, he's not ready or he's sick or, like, he's not feeling
no,
well.
No, his documents were not in order.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it has nothing to do with the player themselves.
No, not in that circumstance.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can't pass her. You're not getting through. I mean, everybody's in a tough position. I got to throw that out there, too. Like, imagine getting tasked with that. Imagine being the person sitting there and they're like, oh, you're gonna police this situation. Like, I mean, it sucks all around, like, mm-hmm. for everybody involved. And so I'm not one of these people. I'm not yelling at anybody, yelling and screaming. It ain't gonna do much in that circumstance. People made these decisions. And
mm-hmm.
anyway, you know, I told you I saw something I wanted to talk about. I told you.
Sure.
It's funny because I saw this. Not that. Okay. No, not that.
All right.
I saw, maybe we'll talk about that after.
Okay.
Because I kind of went in that direction, but this is the one, I think you can title the show with this one.
Sure.
Maybe, I don't know if anything happens here. But I don't even know, I haven't completely formalized like a stance or anything like that. I saw it floating around on Twitter.
Okay.
And it seemed to be gathering steam amongst certain social graphs on there.
Okay.
And this is the that Microsoft event.
Microsoft event.
Have you seen this yet?
No, I haven't.
I think it was some sort of an internal thing where they were, I guess, doing a presentation that company-wide would watch something like that.
This one?
No. I mean, that might be the event, but you got to find the exact clip is going to be the key here.
Okay.
And what happened was, well, I kind of feel like you need to watch it and people need to watch it first. I think it was called Microsoft Ignite. Let me see if I can find a tweet right now. It's very important that you watch a key moment of this. So that you don't have to watch the whole thing to get an idea of exactly what's going on.
Okay.
Just give me 1 second here, Will. This is why preparation is key, but it's also when it's...
Is the clip...
When it's on the fly, it has a certain energy to it. Will has no idea what he's in for right now.
Well, I'm excited.
See? See?
Is it dramatic?
See?
Is it titular?
It might be. I don't know. Oh, okay.
Because I like titular.
Okay, the guy that posted the key portion, Balaji, Balaji. There he is at the top there. Yeah. At least this is the tweet that I saw, but there were a few floating around. I mean, this one has some retweets on it. 1,300, 1,800 quote tweets.
Just go to media?
This was posted, you can just go to media. November the 4th is when this happened, but it seems to be, there's two of them. Okay. So go to the first one down there. That has 2.7 million views, by the way, the second clip. I want to see what the first clip has. Yeah, right there, 1.9 million. Okay, we're going to need audio for
it. We've got a big day ahead and lots in store for you. First, we want to acknowledge that the land where the Microsoft campus is situated was traditionally occupied by the Sammamish, the Duwamish, the Snoqualmie, the Suquamish, the Muckleshoot, the Snohomish, the Tulalip, and other Coast Salish peoples since time immemorial. A people that are still here, continuing to honor and bring to light their ancient heritage. My name is Allison Wines. I'm a senior program manager in our developer tools division. I'm an Asian and white female with dark brown hair wearing a red sleeveless top.
And I'm Seth Juarez, program manager in the AI platform group. I'm a tall Hispanic male wearing a blue shirt, khaki pants. Today, we kick off 2 days of learning more about the latest solutions, exploring how these key innovations can empower you to do great things, and connecting with peers from around the world.
Okay, okay. Cool. Hang on, hang on. Now go to the next one up.
Okay.
You got to get a sense for the whole experience.
Okay. Hello, everyone. I'm Natalie Gadilla. I'm a Caucasian woman with long blonde hair, and I go by she, her. I'm a product marketing lead here at Microsoft and co-host of the podcast Security Unlocked with this guy.
Yes, that would be me. Hello, everyone. I'm Nick Fillingham. I'm a Caucasian man with glasses and a beard. I go by he, him, and I'm a security evangelist here at Microsoft. We are so excited to be with
you. Oh.
Okay,
hello,
so
everyone. I'm Natalie Gadilla.
It's a very short, these are short clips. Like, it's whatever. It's a whole day of this going on, presumably.
Yeah.
It's a whole Ignite event. That was 23 seconds. The first one, very similar. Obviously, you noticed something there.
Not at all. This is a completely normal event.
You noticed something there, and...
Wow. It's rough.
Okay, so first, I need to get this out of the way.
Okay.
There is the position of described video. Uh-huh. Okay, I had to get that out the way because it's true. You if you are doing an event for visually impaired people, then you would describe things more than normal.
Yes.
But here's the thing about it, that how do you decide what to describe? How do you decide what is key important information that should be at the front end, that should be a part of what are the things that we are that are important for us to announce, and where is the line drawn on the level of importance? Like the guy on the left there with the special hairstyle, he didn't announce that.
Yeah,
he didn't, the
mohawk.
He didn't, the first guy said the color of his shirt, but he didn't say how many buttons it had.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't describe the room at all. So for me, it's like, I understand the argument of descriptive video. Like I hear that, but I feel like something else is going on here.
Yeah.
I feel like it's possible that something else is going on here. And it's very, it seems obvious that there are these, what they would consider to be critical components that have to be at the front end of the introduction.
Yeah. They're not talking about what they ate for breakfast or something.
No, definitely not that.
Yeah.
The key as well is the placement. It's not like you get there eventually. It actually comes before their job description.
Yes.
And I think that even these small decisions are significant.
Mm-hmm.
But I have to be honest with you, the entire thing, and I don't know, obviously some people think it's worth it. But the entire thing feels so slow.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe slow is the wrong word. It just feels clunky. Maybe this is not a thing. Imagine if you had to approach all situations in life in a similar fashion.
Ugh. That... I mean, I almost feel like this is
Black Mirror. Does it
like there's definitely an agenda there?
It feels kind of unreal to a certain extent, and well, unnatural, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
I suppose that would be the word.
Yeah,
unnatural. But they are reading off a teleprompter. Somebody approved all this stuff, and obviously people there are people who like it. So, all right, I'm not trying to, honestly, companies and whoever should be, I suppose, capable of presenting themselves however they see fit. But I got to say, Will.
It is very off.
I just got to say something.
Okay.
For me, when you start announcing things like this, you overemphasize the significance of it. Like you make you make a bigger deal out of it. You create a chapter marker. You create an observation that might not have been there. In other words, I may, a person moving into the thing oblivious, in an oblivious way, or just—
They think it's the norm.
No. What I'm saying is if people just present themselves and they just say whatever they're going to say, and we don't listen to the descriptive audio thing, even if that is the entire, then all of a sudden, especially when you lead with it, I'm thinking that that is the most significant, most important aspect of everything you're about to say. I am putting so much weight into your physical appearance and presentation and historical origin that I'm maybe less capable of, like, thinking freely about what you're about to present or what your thoughts happen to be.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, just leveraging or weighing my interpretation solely on the power or strength of the ideas.
Yeah. The idea of presenting whatever they're presenting almost feels like it's lost. Because at the very beginning, it's almost like a resume. Like you're trying to present.
Yeah, it's like, where do you stop? It's like, my mother was born over here. My father was over there.
Like you're presenting your whole story and the whole focus of what this presentation represents seems lost. At the very beginning.
It's a type of bizarre type of hijacking where your ideas, the ideas that you're capable of, are somehow exclusive to your sex or ethnicity or whatever. That is going to predetermine in some way your capability. And I don't know. That doesn't sit right with me. It's not a comfortable feeling that is the most important characteristic that we should approach something from, that is where we should start. I mean, I'm not saying it's completely insignificant, but I'm saying that to put it on the front end and to make it so prevalent implies a level of importance.
Yes.
Above what you're about to say, or above whatever the ideas you're about to share, or whatever it is you're about to pitch. But look, there's obviously a reason they did it, and there's obviously a reason why it's picking up steam on Twitter and people are talking about it, because it is making certain people uncomfortable as well, trying to imagine a future in which we our opportunities or our ability to think is somehow strictly connected to ultimately these things that are outside of our control.
Mm-hmm. It's a lot of time to talk about this. Well,
that
as well.
Too. I mean, just the efficiency aspect.
No, get on with it.
there's an efficiency aspect as well. But I guess this was one of those like internal, keynote type things, internal classroom type things, and they want to keep you there for a while anyway. Well, I don't know if you've ever done any of those. We don't have any internal programs like that.
No.
But I'll tell you what, wait for my introduction.
Oh boy.
Wait for my introduction
don't have an hour, Lou.
If we ever, I'll describe everything. I don't know. I also had this funny thought, and I know this is not the case.
Okay.
So give me a break, but what a person, if you have a person who's blind, let's say, from the time they're born, what is the significance of race to them? That's a weird one. I mean, obviously they could learn and try to use other characteristics to determine if they did want to be prejudiced or something.
Sure.
And there's more people that are, like, visual impairment is not strictly solely blind or, like, there's a gradient there. Mm. So, obviously, it's a real 180. It's a real 180. And it's a rapid 180.
It's very aggressive.
Yeah.
Like you think that it's...
What would you do though? If you were in that position, you were working this corporate job, you will do, and they're like, here's your script. I mean, I feel like you're reading it because it's so much pressure. You're not going to be the one that's like, I'm not going to read that I'm a...
But I'm sure that in some sort of internal documents, there's going to be people that disagree with this.
Yeah, you're probably they're going to be talking about it now that the tweets are out there.
Uh-huh.
Here's another thing I think. I did that 23andMe recently. Not recently, but I did it in the past. What kind of percentages you got to hit?
For what?
Well, to announce yourself a certain way.
Oh, to make it like official?
Well, and then also along which ethnicity lines, you know what I mean? Like, if I'm...
you're not Asian?
No. I mean, it seems like you get, there's like four or five choices. But what if it got more granular?
Uh-huh.
Because obviously everybody's a mashup of all kinds of things. If you're talking about genetically speaking. I'm curious what the threshold is. Like, no one would feel comfortable with me announcing myself as Italian, but...
Yeah.
Or Irish or British or German or what. Like, you can't even...
Yeah, it goes down to the, I guess, the universal level, which is stardust. Like, what's that? You know, we're all made up of stardust.
I want somebody to announce themselves. Hello, I'm the product manager at Microsoft, and I like...
My makeup is
from
the stars.
Yeah, exactly.
The universe.
Yeah. I'm a stardust male.
It gets complicated really quickly.
I was just, what I meant by that though is actually in a context of this, as they go and talk to these people and say, hey, what's your ethnicity, and how people answer that question.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a clear answer to that question?
No, but is there going to be a point where they have to announce the percentage? Like show their 23andMe?
I don't know. I don't think, you know why I don't think so? Because there are certain elements you're allowed to pick. Like you're allowed to say how you identify.
Mm.
Or at least it appears to be that's a widely accepted thing to do.
Yeah.
So I think you can say you are whatever you want. To a certain extent. I don't know. In that world, I don't know why not. You could be like, well, that's the way I identify. No one's asking for documents.
Sure.
No one's asking for documents. Yeah. Anyway, if you were this guy in the presentation and you were forced to do this, what would you say? You're a product manager of the AI program at Microsoft, except it's Will Do instead. What are you? What are you, Will?
I mean, can I be creative?
What do you mean?
No, I can't say that. That's insensitive.
What are you going to say?
I was just going to say like a unicorn.
No.
But not that's insensitive, right?
Yes.
But there's no...
They're not going to let you... I don't think they're going to let you go that far away because then you're making fun of it. I think you're going to have to be inside the realm of whatever the...
But what is the realm? Do I have to show my 23andMe?
You're allowed
papers?
To say a gender, and you're allowed, like, whatever happened in here was you got a gender and you got a ethnicity.
Okay.
It's also weird that nobody is just American. Like, however long people's ancestors have been in a certain place, like, when that transition point is.
Sure.
Like, we have a weird one with that here in Canada. Very few people say that they're Canadian. You ask somebody or they announce what they are.
Mm-hmm.
No one says Canadian.
No.
Ever. Because it's too new.
Mm-hmm.
Country's been around for 5 minutes.
Yeah, you have to go the ethnicity route.
Exactly. And then we're in 23andMe land.
Yeah.
And you know how you did it too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it's complicated.
Yeah. I'm a percentage of...
Go ahead, Will. Fill us in. What's your breakdown?
I don't even remember. But there's like 1% of things, 0.5% of things. Mm. And, you know, those are the representations of something that, in this case, would I have to consider saying that? those minute percentages.
Well, and I'm
but how far does it
well,
go?
Well, I'm sensing right now, just from this dialogue, that for you, that's not a comfortable thing to do. You wouldn't want to describe yourself.
No, and it's also annoying. It's like the minute details, like,
no, but
sure,
I think there's a reason that you have a resistance to it. I think there's a reason, because there's a thing that happens there where you're opening yourself up to preconceptions about what that means, as opposed to just being Will. Like, yes. You would just want to be Will.
Sure.
Ideally.
Mm-hmm. But if the end goal is to present this event, like, why am I talking about myself? Like, what's the point of that? Like, at the very beginning of something, too. Like, what is the goal here?
Well, there's two things, okay? So, there's the described video, and then, sure. And which is easy to understand, but then there's also the controversial one, which is that in some way, your presentation, your thoughts, your feelings, your approach to life, your point of view, that everything that's going to come out of your mouth is going to be in some way influenced by your physical manifestation, like whatever mm-hmm. your background, whatever your genetic makeup happens to be, that in some way is a component in whatever comes after it. And it's not that it's not a component, but it's just a question of how much significance we want to elevate that to versus whether or not we want to elevate other elements first, and then maybe that becomes an interesting side note.
Right.
Like, for example, like leading with your idea instead of your representation. However, you do present yourself looking a certain way, and it's not up to you what other people's preconceptions
are. It is subjective.
But if we start to condition ourselves to these really strong announcements, then we're just, the labels are flying. Like, I met one of you before, like your classification.
Yeah.
Type of thing. And it's not.
You're a type.
And it's not anybody's fault. It's just that we have made such a strong effort to turn those things into significant components that require this elevation.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any thoughts about it?
Well, I don't like it, you know, that's it. Like, I really don't like it. And,
so you have strong opinions.
I don't know how
it.
Controversial that is at the moment. I mean, obviously there's people on here that don't like it either.
Does Satya, present himself as well?
Is he even live there? No, it looks like just a still.
Right. Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think it's just a still photo. Yeah, I'm sure he would have to as well.
Yeah.
I just I don't know, man. I like ideas more. I just like ideas. I just wish people could come would elevate those things, really spend more time talking about those things.
I guess on the flip side, someone who made this presentation,
yeah,
that was their idea.
It is an idea.
Yeah.
It's
just a very strong.
It's a lot of mixed
intention.
It's a lot of mixed messages too. I think there's a lot of mixed messages out there. It's like, you know, it's like this balance of loving yourself, being content with your own position, and then also not being impressed by yourself and assuming that you've got a long way to go and that you've got all these improvements you want to make, and like the difference between who you are today and then your ideal version of yourself that you're working towards.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the tough spot that you get stuck in when you're like very aware of your limitations or your whatever perception there might be around your capabilities. Like, it's all it for me at least, it's always felt so much more psychologically healthy to picture myself as a thing that you're building, like, or as a thing that exists as a target instead of a thing that is completely fully formed at all times, as opposed to a thing that is like permanently anything, but instead that is progressive through life, like a journey where you don't reach the destination. You're just constantly working at something, mm-hmm. including your approach to things, including your point of view that's constantly developing and things like this. And so whenever you're talking about concrete manifestations, you're talking about concrete, unchangeable things that can create complexity for people around who or what they're trying to do.
For sure.
And what they want to be and how that is defined by certain things that are outside of their control. Mm-hmm. What significance that part of it plays. Everyone has things to overcome. And I'm for the record, a lot of people have a lot more to overcome than I do. And so in some sense, it's easier for some people to say, oh, I have this aspirational target and I hate myself and I want to constantly improve or succeed or get better or whatever. Like, 'cause even that requires a certain amount of development or confidence to approach. So some people can have a lot more work to do, but ultimately it's the work that's fulfilling. I don't know how to be born fulfilled, mm-hmm. or appreciated or whatever. Like it, maybe on a minimum level, but then a lot of that, those elements, at least in my own mind, are things that are earned.
Yeah.
As opposed to default standard, like mm-hmm. whether or not who you are has more to do with what you do and where you're going than what you look like.
So if you see stuff like this, these presentations out in the wild more, would you be more...
what a tangent.
Are you...
what a tangent. Maybe this is what happens early in the morning, you know? You get some news. Well, I was just trying to make sense of it. Honestly, I saw it and I thought, man, I got to talk to Will about that. And we so happened to be shooting this morning. So that's how this happened.
Yeah, you need to air it out.
Well, it's not...
There's a lot of thoughts there.
It is, but the other thing to say about it is, like, it's not simple. It's definitely not simple. There are people out there who have engineered this really seemingly friction approach, not and it can't be all that comfortable. Like it's tension.
And you know what's so compelling about this, man? It's because everyone who watches this will definitely have an opinion. Strong opinion.
Strong react.
Yeah. Because, like you said, there is friction in this.
I don't think the world is ending. Like, I'm not one of these people. I look at this and I'm like, that's it. It's over. We're done. They got into there or whatever. No, I mean, like, it's not any one moment or person. There is influence. Things happen. But then in a completely mostly free kind of way, I'm now on here talking about an alternative point of view as well. So, like, that's the beauty of it. Mm-hmm. I don't mind. I like to see ideas out there in the open. I think maybe one of my problems is I don't know how much autonomy these individuals had over that portion of the presentation.
So you feel bad for them?
Well, I just feel I can smell corporate pressure. Like, that's why I asked you, if you saw all of your comrades in there doing that, you'd be like, you don't want to be the guy who doesn't follow suit because you're a part of a team. Team dynamics. And then all of a sudden you're stepping up there and you may feel uncomfortable with a thing, but if it's perceived as the norm, then all of a sudden Willie Doo's like telling you his whole ethnicity, and I don't feel like you want to.
Yeah. Yeah. Listen, if he was my buddy and we're just kicking it.
Okay.
I would be curious to, you know, hear his thoughts. Like, why'd you do that? not in a sense of like what was his what was it like corporate, you know, pressure or but was it something that, from for him?
But I feel like
to talk about it.
That's fine, but I feel like a lot of that is sort of undertones. Like no one is going to admit or no one's going to come to him and say, "Hey, you're going to do this." But yeah. Like why we do or don't do things has a lot to do with what's considered to be acceptable because we want to be accepted so badly.
Yeah.
And it's important,
especially in this society,
for our survival, right? To have some degree of acceptance. Even myself talking through my own thought process here is aware of potential rejection or acceptance. I'm sitting here recognizing.
No, we're getting canceled for
well,
sure.
Well, you see what I'm saying? You see what I'm saying? Done. Like everyone has that internal dialogue.
Mm-hmm.
And I do think
it's a lot of mental stress.
It is, but I do also think it's an important exercise is to embody as best you can both points of view. Mm-hmm. Attempt to try on the alternative opinion. Just try it on as an outfit and say, no, you know what? Doesn't really fit.
Yeah.
There's different outfits out there.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'm just using that as a
yeah.
There's different flavors and so on. I think what's key is that people are just as honest as possible in discussing such topics so that individuals exposed to it can also approach things in a similar fashion. And it's not combat, and it doesn't have to be aggressive or angry. And it's one of the problems with Twitter is that now, this person would tweet a thing, and it would come across as being aggressive regardless of the individual's... you're lacking so much information. That's an area we need more description. Maybe not what the person tweeting looks like, but the emotion of the tweet.
Mm-hmm.
Are you angry or intrigued? Or we're constantly lacking context on Twitter, which
yes.
seems to always lead to aggressive discourse.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can't tell the place a person's coming from. Are they attempting to be honest? Are they attempting to think it through? Are they pausing to
there is a aggressive parameter, which is the character count.
And
you can't express all your ideas and the way that you're thinking at that time in 240 characters.
The characters are one thing, but I think human emotion is even bigger. That you can't see the state of mind of the individual.
Mm.
You're lacking so much information about their mood.
Yes.
Right? Like, I could say the same line to you from a position of seven different moods, and they would all mean completely different things.
Mm-hmm.
But you would need to see my mood in order to know that.
Yes.
And then the other thing is seems to be some sort of statement bias, like the more of a statement that you're making.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's not a lot of questions on Twitter, unless it's like, what should I eat for lunch?
Mm-hmm.
Or what's better, this or that? It's a lot of statements. Even this guy, he put a period at the end and it worked. It got a bunch of retweets and I mean, he figures he's got a hot tweet, but in a certain way, you're kind of doing the same thing. If you engage in the full-scale combat, or if you put up a really stiff front, as opposed to a flexible one,
mm-hmm.
But I just wanted to talk about that. We can move to the next topic. That's it. I know. I apologize. It's a bit of a rant or whatever. But everybody's living in this space, man. Like everybody's living in this world right here, and. Man, like, I got youngsters, and everyone's got to navigate this thing, and it's requiring a tremendous amount of gymnastics here to determine even how to feel about something or who it is, who you're protecting, who you're supporting, then you've got your own ideals to uphold, and it's just it's some serious gymnastics to it.
It's a lot of work. Like, I don't have kids myself, but I can understand in your position, or at least try to, that your ideas is something that's malleable, and you're trying to also instill ideas to your youngsters.
And you're trying to provide solid, the best, like, evidence-based, whether it's on personal experience or however you got there, you're not trying to waste time. You're trying, with the limited amount of dialogue and opportunity you have, to provide as much solid information as possible. Mm-hmm. As much stuff that could be useful or is going to stand the test of time.
And foundational.
Yes, that's a great word.
So, like, it's so hard nowadays, I find, to have to instill value systems that are just
solid.
Yeah, just rock solid. It's like, things are changing so fast, I find. It's
yeah, well.
And you want to be open-minded and generally accepting about new ideas.
Yeah.
But, like, how do you sift through, like, this mud pit?
Yeah, new ideas are not always the best ideas.
Yeah.
Just the nature that they're new doesn't imply that they're amazing. They're just new. You know, you're trying them out. See if it works. Like, see what it does. It's obviously divisive. The evidence is there. So the jury is not currently completely convinced. And that's really the hope. The hope would be that people can navigate to the best of their ability these sensitive topics in a mature manner, that you could allow the ideas themselves to be out in the open. Like, this is one of the things about like banning people from social media. It's like, if or not wanting to hear a point of view that isn't the same as yours. Mm-hmm. The echo chamber concept. It's like, I think that's equally a problem. I think you want the stuff out in the open to see how robust it actually is, to see how solid it actually is, or to witness it when it feels the other way. And this goes for everything. Like, it goes for all forms of content, all forms of conversation, and it's an activity. It helps you. Mm-hmm. Even just talking to you right now, I'm feeling it feels helpful to try and make sense of it, instead of just, like, letting it float and pass by and just seep into the subconscious. Like, hey, what do you think about that? Mm-hmm. Engages a different part of mind, which says you're a participant in this. You're not completely on the sidelines watching the event. You're a participant in this. And there's certain responsibilities that come with being a participant. You really do have to try if you care.
Do you think the medium matters, presenting these ideas?
Absolutely. Because
you and I are just talking, right? And we could present our ideas.
There would be a better way, which would be to have the guy right there. If the guy from the Microsoft presentation was sitting right there, it would be even better, because then he could give us so much more information that we're missing about how we got to that point. Or the girl, I mean, or whoever was a part of it. So it's not perfect. And it rarely is, because we're in a
time. And even the guy tweeting about it.
Exactly.
He might have some thoughts that is not stated in his tweet.
For sure.
You know?
All of the above. We're always going on limited information. We're bombarded with tidbits. We're bombarded with clips, short little what we have to work with. And as you go down the list and you get all the way to, like, the tweet is the bluntest, mm-hmm. least resolution. And then as people talk about it, you start to get, it gets a little bit more comprehensive from a communication standpoint. I mean, this is a level, a different communication level than that. But even if somebody were here in person, they would probably be witnessing little micro communication components that you might be witnessing here.
Yes.
That could still get missed on video. So the point is, you're never going to get all the way to the beauty of real life conversation, like the real round table of life.
I would even go a step further and say that the person that could end up on this as a guest, like maybe they're not a good communicator as well.
Oh, right. You know, even more meta.
Yeah.
They can't even express their own feelings on the subject. And that's possible as well.
Yeah.
That are being able to articulate, like we're still stuck in the land of words.
Yeah. We need like a mind meld.
I mean, you have to sit here and work with the bluntness of words in general.
Yeah.
Some people might be like, that word right there, that I'm not a huge fan of that word. And therefore, or the descriptiveness of words.
Mm.
Yeah, very meta. Anyway, the point being is that I think just having that for myself, you and I have gone back and forth on this particular show about what this particular show even is.
Mm-hmm.
And it would be a variety of topics, and it's helpful that this is happening at Microsoft. And it's interesting as well that it seems to be tech companies who tend to be on the forefront, who tend to be adopting things a little earlier than other companies, they seem to be the ones embracing change in this case, whatever that change happens to be. And it kind of makes sense to a certain extent that they would be on the forefront of attempting to be perceived as modern, because being modern matters in tech. Like you want your thing to be modern.
Yeah, not just the product itself.
The whole attitude of the company, not to say that all companies have the exact same approach on this, but there seems to be some sort of a connection and a pull to be early. But you also can make bad bets. You also can try to be early on something that doesn't end up becoming the norm. And well, in that case, it can be the opposite effect, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, we can move on to the next subject. I don't know what else there's really to say about it. It's pretty obvious what's going on there. I mean, people, maybe you guys can add some texture if you're watching this. Add some texture in the comment section. It's an impossible thing to talk about smoothly, but I presume that, I mean, there's no character limit in the comment section.
No.
So if you write a really long, like, paragraph or something, maybe you can flesh out some thoughts on a topic that could add something.
Yeah, communication is key. Should we end it there?
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Because I feel like I got to go soon, so.
How long was that?
That was good 50 minutes. It didn't feel like it.
I have a feeling that people will be very angry if you just post that.
Really?
Well, because
it's a weekend upload.
Yeah, all right. Go for it.
All right.
I think it.
We'll be back on Monday.